Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is WebSphere Application Server Version 7 Business Level Applications. Today's presenters are Humran Nathan and Ganesan Karupaya. Humran has more than 7 years of WebSphere application server customer support and testing experience with multiple versions from version 5 to version 7. Areas of specialization include install, application management, and system management. Ganesan has more than 8 years of WebSphere application server customer support experience with multiple versions from version 3.5 to version 7. Areas of specialization include application and system management. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Ganesan and Humran.
Thank you, Joseph. This is Ganesan, and welcome everyone. And thanks for joining today's WebSphere technical session. This presentation will introduce the concept of business level application, and we will cover configuration and other aspects too. Let's move on to slide number 2. This presentation will first cover the motivation and benefits of business level application, why we are going for this model. And it will introduce the key concepts and compare those concepts to the current or the previous model of Java 2 enterprise application concept. After understanding the basic concept, we will go over the business application operation and real-time configuration, and also we will cover shared library and session management, like the new features like added with the business level application. Moving to slide number 3, introduction. This section will discuss the motivation and benefits of the business level application. Moving to slide number 4, limitation of enterprise level model. So when I say enterprise level model, I say the current Java 2 enterprise application model. The definition of application itself, it's complex. Often it is confusing to different people. If you take the starting from the architect to the developer, the meaning of enterprise application, it varies. An application to a developer, it may mean set of code artifacts that developed using some development tool and installed in the runtime. So for the developer, when we say application, for them it is some, the few Java codes, and it is bundled in some jar file or a var file. On the other hand, for an architect, an application may mean integration of different business models. Like this, like they try to integrate all the modules to achieve the solution. In a traditional Java application model, control operations all are scoped by the ear. So if you have the binaries, let's call it a default application, then all the operations, stop and installation, everything is scoped based on the Java enterprise application level. These are the limitations of the current enterprise model. Let's move on to slide number 5. Business level application goal. Why we are going for this model, or why IBM is going for this approach. WebSphere BLA model, it separates IT and business view of application. There are like two separate views. When I say IT, let us assume the developer. The business view, let us architect and the business people. So this model, it's trying to separate the IT and business view of an application. It addresses the limitation of the traditional Java application model. In addition to containing enterprise application and shared resources. A DLA can also contain other business level applications. We will see those things in detail in coming slides. This model allows you to define relationship between different applications. In the current Java 2EE model, we don't have that option. You install application, that application is a standalone. There is no way to define relationship between two applications. We are at slide number 6. Business level application concept. This section will introduce the new concept related to business level applications. Moving on to slide number 7. BLA configuration model. Business level application configuration model. It is a configuration model that defines relationship between artifacts. It is not a structure of packaging application binaries like a year file. In a traditional Java enterprise application, it will have a module, for example, web module, and for EJB module, jar file. And after install, it has a direct relationship or the reference with the runtime servers. Also, it will have a pointer to the binary file location from where it is being served. So current model, you install the application, and it always has a reference to that running JVM or the server. BLA is a configuration model that does not represent or contain the binaries. There is no binaries. When we say business level application, it's a configuration model, and you don't have any direct reference to the server or a binary. Also, the business level application, it can have one or more than one composition units, which can contain binary code. The binary code like year file, jar file, var file, and some library file, those are like called composition units, and it will be the part of business level application. Moving on to slide number 8. Business level application character. Business level application does not introduce a new programming model or a runtime framework or a packaging model. I want to make this one clear. So when we say business level application, it is not a new programming model. Our new framework. Everything is going to be the same, but WebSphere V7, how this is handled is different. It is a model of administratively grouping, viewing, and operating related components. This grouping does not affect the runtime characters of enterprise applications. Before going to the next slide, it is very important to understand the basic characteristic of BLA. Let's recap this one. It is not a new programming model, and no new APIs are introduced. There is no special or unique packaging requirements. There is no difference in application runtime. Then, who is affected by BLA? The application deployer, or WebSphere administrator and architect, and the business model design, like who is designing the business model. For a developer, there is no difference. So moving on to slide number 9. This is one of the important slides. We'll be discussing each item in a separate slide. If you have any question, please make a note, and we will discuss further during final QA session if needed. So business level application model, it consists of asset, composition units, and business level application itself. Assets. Assets are actual binary files that contain business logic, such as var file, year file, jar file. Business level application model store these binaries as an asset within the WebSphere configuration. If you remember like current or the previous model, we have an installable apps. It is outside of the, it is a WebSphere configuration, but it is not in within the configuration directory. It is outside of the configuration directory. Using this model, when you add an asset, it will become within the configuration of the WebSphere. Composition units. When these assets are installed in a target server, that particular thing, the particular server and asset relation, it's known as a composition unit. In the business level application, it can contain one or more composition units. So like we have, one is binaries, that is outside of this model. When you bring the binaries, it becomes the assets. And when you map the binaries to the particular server within the business level application, then it becomes a composition unit. Moving on to slide number 10. An asset represents physical binaries that contain business logic, including shared libraries. The very first step in business level application configuration or the design is to import the binaries to the WebSphere as an asset. This is a required step for any steps before going to business level application that we need to import these binaries. Importing the binaries, it will make the binaries available within the WebSphere configuration repository. Also, you can give a outside external location to store these binaries. Like during the current install process, you can specify where you want to install the application. You can give any directory complete path, and WebSphere will put that binaries in that directory. The same way, when you import the assets, you can configure the directory even if you want to have outside of the WebSphere. Moving on to slide number 11. Composition units. When the assets are configured, when I say configured, like it is actually I'm meaning it deployed. When the assets are configured, it becomes the composition unit within the business level application. Composition unit associate each deployable unit in an asset, such as module. A shared library composition unit defines a jar file as a library. Business level application composition unit defines a business level application so that you can add it to the different business level application. Let me make it clear. When we are talking about the composition units, another business level application can become a composition unit of some other business level application. So you can bring a var file or a jar file or a shared library as a composition unit for one business level application. The same time, you can add another business level application to as a composition unit for another business level application. So moving on to slide number 12. Composition unit contents. Actually, what it contains. As an example, if you take the current model, you have a WebSphere install configuration, and if you want to install a new application from the outside, you take the binary file, then go through the install process. During that process, each module gets mapped. So you have the option to map the model to different server or a cluster. After the installation, then the application is installed and that model is like it mapped with particular server. You can relate that current model with the composition unit. The composition unit, you take the asset and you go through the same install process. Then you map it with the server. But everything is happening within the business level application. So the traditional Java enterprise application, the install process is same as the composition unit mapping. Moving to slide number 13. Rules for working with composition units. This slide talks about the composition unit rules, like few rules that we need to be aware of. And those are very important because in this business level model, the composition unit plays a major role. And we need to understand these basic rules. A composition unit always include one and only one asset. You have one asset and that can be configured as a composition unit. But from one asset, you can create multiple composition units. So if you look at the other way, when I say composition unit, that it will have only one asset. When I say asset, from that one, you can create multiple composition units. And composition unit name must be unique within the cell. This is similar to current model, the WebSphere Enterprise Application Model. Within the cell, you cannot have duplicate name of application name. Similar to that, the composition unit must be unique within the cell. Composition unit contains application-specific information like bindings, and they cannot be shared by multiple business-level applications. Moving to slide number 14. Let's talk about the business-level application. So far, we discussed about the components within the business-level application. If I draw a big picture, the business-level application is a big circle, and within that circle, you have composition unit and assets, all these configurations. Composition unit always include one and only one asset, but everything is configured within the business-level application. We will see how this is configured using WebSphere console and WSRBM later. All this activity happening within the business-level application. Business-level application is a group of composition units. If you take one business-level application, it will have one or more than one composition unit. It's a set of composition units. Business-level application name must be unique within the cell. It is similar to the composition unit. All these names must be unique within the cell. To create a business-level application, you can use the administrative tools like WebSphere console or WSAdmin, or if you want the APIs, JMX APIs, you can do that. This will create a configuration data for a business-level application in your configuration repository. Once you created this configuration model, then you can add assets to the business-level application, which will create a composition unit for each asset. So, adding the assets within the business-level application, it creates a composition unit. If you don't have an asset and if you don't have a business-level application model, then you cannot create a composition unit. Everything happens within this framework. Moving on to slide number 15. This is another one important picture. This diagram illustrates how the components of business-level applications fit together, the multiple components. So far, we discussed about composition units and unprocessed files, assets, and business-level applications. So we are going to see how everything fit together in this BLA model. On the left, you start with unprocessed application resources like ER file, JAR file, or a WAR file. So anything that you get it from the developer. So those are unprocessed files which reside outside of the WebSphere. First step, we will import this unprocessed file from the WebSphere console or using other administrative tools as assets into the WebSphere configuration. When you import the unprocessed application resources, it becomes assets within the WebSphere. So far, just we are importing the file. This is like you have the file outside and you bring that file inside the WebSphere configuration. There is no installation process. There is no server mapping. Just from the outside, we are taking the jar file or the resource jar file, var file, year file, and bring that files to the WebSphere configuration. When the assets are ordered to a business level application, it gets wrapped as a composition unit. So we are not creating a composition unit. What we are doing is we have an imported asset, and we already have a template of business level application. When you put this asset to the business level application, then it becomes one of the composition units within the business level application. Composition unit cannot be created without business level application model. Not only business level application, the composition unit, not only like it is going to the business level application, like I said earlier, another business level application can be part of the new business level application. If you look at the right side of the chart, I illustrated business level application 1, 2, 3. So business level application 1, it has one composition unit, Java Enterprise application, like the year file. Business level application 3, it has EJB and some shared libraries. So BLA 1 and BLA 3, they are like standalone business level application which has its own composition unit. Business level application 2, which is in yellow color, it doesn't have any direct composition unit like others, but it includes BLA 1 and BLA 3 as its composition unit. So the main purpose or the goal for this architecture is to define a relationship between multiple applications. So this way you can have a hierarchy and you can have a relationship between one business level application and another business level application. With this, you can start. If you start BLA 2, then it's going to start BLA 1 and BLA 3. Moving on to slide number 16. Comparing business level and Java enterprise application concept. This section will compare the new business level application concept with traditional Java enterprise application model. Moving on to slide number 17. Business level application and Java enterprise application. In this chart, I try to illustrate the difference and the definition of the business level application concept, and I try to relate the same concept with traditional Java enterprise application. In Java enterprise concept, the year file are a standalone model, the var model or a EJB jar file, which is ready for a deployment. So we call that as a standalone model. In BLA, it's asset. It is, you have that one, you bring it to the WebSphere, then it becomes the WebSphere asset. And in Java Enterprise, the traditional model, enterprise application created at the end of the install process. If you take that, in traditional model, you take that year file or a jar file or a var model, you go through the install process, then at the end of the process, the application gets created. In business level application, the same process is called composition unit. The individual Java enterprise model, which are contained within the deployed application, are represented as a deployable unit in the business level application. Java enterprise modules. So within the year file, you may have modules. Let's say var module and EJB jar, then that represent within the year file. But in BLA, we call as a deployable unit. Moving on to slide number 18. When Java enterprise applications are installed in a business level application, you interact them through different management capabilities like administrating console, WS-Admin, JMX, APX. To add Java, traditional Java enterprise application, we go through that, say, the installation process. Using the same console and the same model, we are going to do the same thing for a business level application. You'll see the different panel, but behind the scene, go through the same process. To remove the enterprise application, what we need to do is we need to remove the composition unit first. Then you delete the business level application. In the current traditional model, if you want to uninstall the application, you go to the application and you say uninstall. But when the application is part of the business level application, then we remove the composition unit first, then we delete the application. Even though you delete the composition units and the business level application, the binaries are added, the assets are still there. It can be reused at any time. So uninstalling the application does not affect the binaries which are available. It can be reused. Let's move on to slide number 19. Start operation and stop operation in the current traditional model, you can go to that one application, then you can say, I want to start the application. So it's going to start that application across the server. In BLA world, you need to start the composition unit. If you want to start that particular model, you need to start the composition unit. How it is happening is, it is within the, all this composition unit is part of the business level application. And if by starting the business level application, all these modules are started. If you have business level application as a composition unit, then that also getting started. And the same way, if you want to stop that business level application, you go to the business level application and stop that. It will stop all the composition unit and everything. And so far, we have discussed about the key concepts about business level application and how it addresses the traditional Java enterprise application limitation. Now, I turn this over to Kumaran to continue BLA configuration, operation, and other features of BLA model. Kumaran.
Thanks, Ken. Good afternoon or good morning, wherever you are. Let's move on to slide 20. So far we have seen what is business level application and what is composition unit and what is an asset. Hereafter we are going to see how we can manage or how we can import asset and how we can add and delete and all those stuff. Let's move on to slide number 21. Okay, business level application operation, what you can do with the business level application. You can use admin console, or you can use WS-Admin, or you can use JMX APIs. We introduce all this, I mean, whatever you can do using admin console can be done using WS-Admin as well. We have enhanced some features in the WS-Admin. So this slide shows several new admin task commands in WS-Admin that can be used for creating, displaying, and deleting the assets and composition unit. We call it a CU and business level applications. And pretty much whatever you can do from the console can be done using WS-Admin. You can do for the asset, and you can do it for a composition unit, and you can also create, delete, list all the business level application commands. Let's move on to slide 22. So let's just talk about tips, what you need to do in version 7 in order to have a successful business level application. The very first tip you need to do is import an asset. As Ken already mentioned, asset can be a jar file or a var file or a ER file or a RAR file, or it can be any artifact actually, which we even don't even aware of. So it doesn't have to be a JTD artifact, and that is a very cool feature in version 7 BLA. So you can import an asset. First, that is the very first step you need to do. Once you import an asset, you've got to go to another page where you can go and create a empty business level application. It just giving a name. Just go there and give a business level application name. And once you create the business level application, then you can add this asset into the business level application. So when you add the asset into the business level application, that time the composition unit will be created. So composition unit is going to have the J&D reference or all the information, whatever can talk about already. Once you added the asset into the business level application, then you should be able to start the business level application. Without adding any asset into the business level application, the status will be unknown. You will not be able to start or stop or do any operation for the business level application because it's just a logical name, business level application. So it has to contain asset in order to successfully start or do any operation on a business level application. So maybe we might be aware of earlier versions. I assume like on 6.0.6.1, we introduced a new concept of profiles, and 7.0, this is the BLA concept. And if you go to the profile name, config, cell name folder, we usually have a folder called application, which is going to have the application configuration information. On V7, with these new features, you will have three more new folders there. One is called BLAs, and another one called CU, which is composition unit, and you will also have a folder called assets. So when you import the asset, the folder asset will be created, so whatever you add into the asset will be stored in that place under config, cell name, folder, under D manager. And once you add the asset, when you create a BLA, there will be a new folder created under the cell name, which is called BLAs. And when you add the asset into the BLA, the composition unit will be created. That time, there is a folder will be created called CUs. Under CUs, the name, there will be a name created under the CU for that business level application. So let's move on to slide 23. So let's see how we can do. So far, we have seen like theoretically how it's all possible and what is BLA asset and how we can create, import, and all those stuff. Now let's see some of those screens and to see, I mean, this screen may not be that clear, pardon me for not that clear, but I believe you can see what is there in the screen. So whatever we have seen, the four steps, first import an asset, then create an empty business level application name, and then add the asset into business level application and start the business level application. So we are going to see that in this screen. So this screen shows where you can import an asset. So this is a V7 admin console, administrative console. So if you expand under application type, you will see the Sphere application server, which is for your legacy application where we used to do on 6.0.6.1. We did not make any changes there. You will be able to do as you were doing it on 6.0.6.1. There will not be any change and you will not be noticing any difference there. So that you don't have to worry about, oh, I don't want a BLA, I just want a legacy application like how I used to do in 6.0.6.1. Then you can just click on WebSphere Enterprise application and you can just go and deploy as you used to do it in 6.0.6.1. So first step is like under the application type, you click on asset. A new page will be showing up on the right-hand side. So you need to click on import and browse whatever asset you want to add there. It can be, as I said, like it can be a jar file, war file, ER file, RAR file, or it can be any file which even WebSphere are not even aware of. So you can add anything in there as an asset. Once you add the asset, let's move on to slide number 24. So this page shows how you can create a BLA. It's, as I said, it's just a logical name. Just you click on new and it will ask you to enter a name there and description. Just click apply. So BLA will be created. It's just a logical name. Once this is created, just make sure always whenever you do click apply, save, synchronize the changes so that it will be synced with all the nodes. Once you create the business level application name, so this is what it will show up. In this example, we have created called the My Sample BLA. Let's move on to slide 25. So this one shows like after you create the BLA, and if you click on the application name, the business level application name, it will give you two options actually. What do you want to do? Do you want to deploy asset? Or, deploy is kind of like adding asset to the business level application. You can either add the asset as a deployable asset, or you can also add it as shared library. Those are the two options. You can do it under the deployed assets. And you can also add another business level application into this business level application. So let's move on to slide 26. Once you added the asset, when you are adding the asset, that time it will ask for all the target information as you deploy an application. And during that time, the composition unit will be created. And once it's all done, you can just select as we used to do it in earlier release and say you can say stop or start or delete the application. And make sure the application is saved and synchronized as before in order to start the application successfully. So let's move on to slide number 27. So this table shows the equivalent WSADMIN commands for creating an asset and creating a business level application and also listing out the names after creating it successfully. So to create an asset, it's all new WSADMIN tasks. Admin tasks have been created for V7 business level applications. It's just to import an asset first, and to once it's imported, just to make sure if the asset has been imported successfully, you can list the asset and you can create a empty BLA, and then you can list all the BLAs using the WSADMIN task commands. So let's move on to slide 28. You can then add the asset to the business level application as exactly how we did using the admin console. This is the equivalent to what we did in admin console. You can add the asset into the BLA, which is add comp unit command, so admin task command. You will be passing all the BLA name and all the IDs and all those stuff in order to add the asset into BLA. Once it is done, you will be saving the configuration and it will be syncing up with the node. And then you can start the BLA. So let's move on to slide 29. So this panel shows the creation during the installation. The application installation, this supports the business level application creation. What it does, like, for example, you go through your legacy application install, click on next, next, next. The very first step where you can give your application name and permission information, and where the application has to be expanded. On the same panel, you will also see a new thing called business level application name there. Any application you deploy on V7 will be part of BLA. Even though it's a legacy application, like what we used to do it on 6.1.6.1, it will be part of BLA. It's just a design limitation. You really don't have to worry about anything. We don't have to worry about anything at all if you don't want to be part of business level or you don't want to manage the business level application at all. But a business level application name will be created for the legacy application, and a folder will be created and stored under the configuration. It's just for the design, and you won't be even noticing any difference like what you did in 6.1.6.1 and 7. It's going to be exactly the same. Only a name of BLA name will be created. If you don't give any name there, or if you don't select anything there, it's going to create exactly like your app name. For example, app1, it will create a BLA called app1, and it's just going to be stored under the configuration folder. And we can move on to slide 30. So here, let's just talk about the composition unit relationship, how it works with the asset and how it works with the shared library. And one of the major feature with the business level application is the shared library. We can discuss more about it in the next slide, just 31. So composition unit relationship. So the relationship are used to describe dependencies in business level applications. You can define relationship by choosing the detailed path when adding an asset. It's like exactly like how we do it in 6.0.6.1, like you can choose fast path or detailed path. I mean, but you need to choose the detailed path in order to see this panel, or even you can navigate to this path after the application has been installed. So you can select a model that you want to associate with the shared library, and you can click on just reference shared library as shown in this picture. So as I said earlier, V7 business level application, one of the major features are with the shared libraries. Earlier versions like 6.0.6.1, if you want to create a shared library, either you have to bundle the jar file with your ER file, which is actually not shared, actually. We are not sharing the jar file. Or you can create a shared library outside the EAR, and you'll be referencing that reference to the ER file. But you have to have the jar file in all the nodes. For example, if you have four cluster members on four nodes, you have to have the shared library jars on all four nodes, and you have to move it manually and map it manually. So those are the difficulties we had in the earlier release. With the BLA, you really don't have to worry about the shared library, how it is going to be mapped and how it is going to be moved automatically to the nodes and all, because it's going to be stored on the cell level. When you add the asset, you can, as I said earlier, you can add the asset, or you can add, after you create a BLA on that slide, you can add asset or you can add it as a shared library. So once you add it there, then you can reference that jar file to that BLA, and that's going to be stored on the cell level, and you really don't have to manage a shared library after that, and it's going to be mapped, and the entire BLA application, for example, if you have like five EAR files in the BLA, all the five EAR file can reference that shared library jar file. And let's move on to slide 32. So this one shows, like, after you added the asset and added and created and everything fine, now you want to reference the shared library, and you can click on My BLA and asset that is stored. It can be a module, WAR file, or ER file, anything. You can just click on that, and it will take you to this page where you can map the shared library to that module, actually. So once you just go through the admin console panels once or twice into all this, then it will be much easier and clear. It's very straightforward. It all, like, you will see all the information in that administrative console. So let's move on to slide number 33. This one, again, describing the shared library relationship, like to define a relationship with a shared library. That relationship is described using a composition unit. If a composition unit is already part of the business level application, you can refer to that composition unit. If you define an asset as a shared library, a composition unit will be created and added to the application, as we have seen already. And the most important thing to remember is about the weight, the starting weight of the shared library, because the reference and the relationship will be created when you map the shared library to the models, right? But the weight by default for the shared library and the model is going to be 1. So it's going to start at the same time. Suppose if you have dependency on the model for the shared library, if the shared library did not start before the application is started, then you are going to see some class cache exception or class not found exceptions. So in order to avoid it, you need to change the starting weight of the shared library jar file and the model. 1 is going to be the least one, like it's going to start first, and the 2, if you give the starting weight at 2, and it's going to start after 1 is started. So you need to make sure that you change the starting weight of the shared library, and you have to remember that. You have to do it in the administrative console or using WSAdmin. Okay, let's move on to slide 34. So another one cool feature and the new feature with BLA is introducing a new session management capability, and that's going to be very helpful for the business level application. Let's talk more about it in next slide. Let's move on to slide 35. So in WebSphere application server, session management provides methods to share the HTTP session across enterprise applications. Actually, there are two ways to share HTTP session data between web application in WebSphere application server v7. One is the shared session context, which we used to have it in the earlier release that we have been using so far. Disadvantage with that is, like, you cannot, that HTTP session object is going to be available only on that web model. For example, if you have like 5 WAR files in a ER file, so HTTP session object created on WAR 1 cannot be shared with the HTTP session on WAR 2. So that option is actually deprecated, but it's still available in version 7. With the new BLA concept, we also introduced a new session attribute called IBM application session. So what it does, it actually, you don't have to worry about sharing the session between the models. I mean, this IBM application session will be available for the entire model. I mean, it will be available for the entire business application. So all the web models in the business application can share this IBM application session. So let's move on to slide 36. So this example, this picture shows how that's being shared. You can see in this example, like, the business level application can have more composition unit, and that can be a web model or jar model or anything like that. But in this example, we are just showing two web model as a composition unit inside a business level application. And as you can see, both the web model can read the IBM application sessions. But the HTTP session context, it can be used and referenced only by that particular web model. Each and every web model will have its own HTTP session, and that can't be shared, as I mentioned earlier. So this is a wonderful thing to have in version 7. So let's move on to slide 37. So this is just an example, like, to show how you can retrieve the IBM application session. First, you need to retrieve the HTTP session object, like request.get session. That's going to return the session object. And once you get the session object, you'll be typecasting that session object to the IBM session and call the get IBM application session method. That will return the application session, and that can be used in your application. Maybe one disadvantage maybe is, like, if you are migrating your application from 6.0 or 6.1 to 7.0, you may have to change your code a little bit to use this feature. And let's move on to slide 38. So this IBM application session share the same characteristic as the HTTP session. Like, it's nothing changed. It's same thing. It supports failover to other application server, as we saw with the earlier session context. The session event listener is not changed. Object storage for sharing between web models also the same, actually. So we did not change anything with the new IBM application session context. Only thing is, it can be shared with all the web models in the BLA. Let's move on to slide number 39. So we'll revisit what we have gone through so far. Let's move on to slide 40. It's a summary, like, what we have seen so far is a business level application is a new application management model that supports separating application binaries from configuration and reusing function in multiple applications and creating hierarchical application structure. As we saw, like, this business level application is kind of a very cool and new feature with version 7. You can have, like, more ER files into one application. In earlier versions, we had problems like if you want to deploy an ER file and if you have any reference ER files, then you have to manage and map it separately. Like, if you have large ER files, it's very difficult to deploy, and it takes a lot of time, and we see a lot of timeout issues and all those stuff. In this, we can group all the ER, all the VAR, all the JAR together in one composition unit and put it under BLA, and we should be able to manage just by one click, just a start, stop, or whatever we want to do. And also, we talked about the shared library, the new thing in V7, which it's really shared now, not like earlier release, like you have to manually have the JAR files in the nodes, every node, or you have to put the JAR file in the ER itself. So with the new one, it's on the cell level, so that will be managed automatically by the Respire application server. And also, we don't move all the configuration assets which are not added to the BLA into the nodes, so it's just going to be stored only on the deployment manager configuration. And we have also seen about the IBM application session, that session context can be shared along with all the VAR models in the business level application. We can move on to slide 41. Maybe I have some reference there. Just move on to 42. So there are a few additional product resources and links available. I'm pretty sure, like, probably you might have, like, understand a little bit of what is business level application, what is an asset, and what is a composition unit. you go through some of this information in the information center, and this has got very good information there. There are a lot of information about the business level application and the admin task commands we discussed about, and how you can do that programmatically using JMX API, and all the information are there in information center. The last link from one of our architects, and this is available in the developer world, and this will also have very good information there. If you get a chance, please just go through these links and make use of it. And that's all I have for today. And I hope you enjoyed the session. Let me turn it back to Joseph. Joseph?
Thank you, Kumaran and Ganesan, for a great presentation. At this point, Teresa, we would like to open the line for questions.
Chuck Chang, you may ask your question.
I have a question. If I understand correctly, business level applications try to address reusability or some limitation of the current DE model. Am I right?
Yes, you are right.
Yes. Okay. So I think IBM has several solutions to for reusability, and there's a concept called composite application in WebSphere portal, and WebSphere process server uses SCA and BPEL to try to resolve it, and WISTO is another solution use web services so that they will hide artifact from the client side. So I think my question is how does business level application kind of excel or provide more feature or to answer the question of reusability?
In the BLA, the one good thing about BLA is it doesn't have to know about any artifact you are going to add. So the SCA feature pack or whatever you are talking about, those things also, the framework what we have behind the scene is not going to worry about what you are going to add as an asset. So you can have anything in there, and in future you can make use of it actually. And as I said, it's new things like your shared library is a very good one, and the session is a very good one, and the managing the application, like group together all the application in one BLA is one of the major features, actually.
Yeah, well, it sounds similar to other technology like the composite application portal, and when I define a composite application, I don't define artifacts. When I define SCA in WebSphere process server, I don't define implementation either. So does that sound like similar or BLA is something different? Or let me come down to more implementation level. In terms of reusability, how do I describe composition unit so that when another developer try to collect or try to build a new BLA, he knows what's inside the unit. So how do you describe it? How do you make a artifact as my asset and make it clear and describe the functionalities or some kind of implementation to whoever try to reuse this component? How does WebSphere answer the question?
Okay. For a developer concern, they don't have to do any changes. Like, they are going to develop the application the same way they are doing earlier. For a developer, this is not going to affect any way. For a WebSphere administrator, the way they install the application is changing. That's it. But for a developer, they don't have to worry about this BLA. Let them do the business, like, based on whatever they are doing. But when it comes to the WebSphere administrator or a deployer, then they need to be aware of this model. And so you take that, whatever comes with that, then the install process is little bit different. For a developer, there is no change.
Okay, so if I understand correctly, whoever want to reuse composition unit need to know the unit first in order to assemble a BLA.
The composition unit is... it's within the WebSphere, and the developer, they don't have any idea about composition unit. So if reusing, when we talk about reusing, we are talking about the year file, jar file.
Yes.
And those are added as assets. And assets within WebSphere can be reused.
Yes. I know it can be reused, but how does a developer know what's available there? What assets are there available in WebSphere so he doesn't have to reinvent the wheel, and he can just put them together and get a new application running.
Yeah, that is a manual one. Like whoever is like administering WebSphere, they need to know what are the application installed and what are the assets are added. So pretty much like it is, if you maintain WebSphere, if you're administrator, then if you when you do the list or when you go through the console, you click on asset, then you will come to know what are the assets already there and what are its the jar file it is mapping. So it is pretty much a manual thing, and so administrator and the developer, they need to work together to see, okay, what are the available stuff and what is needed.
Okay, so this is more for administrator. Okay, so my another question is, OpenTime, well, this is a separate question. OpenTime, we combine some non-Java artifact into an application. For example, I want to roll out this new release, and it's not just a Java code like a change, but I got to change a database schema. And how does BOA, facilitate me to make changes or to combine or to make non-Java artifact as one of the composition units?
Can you repeat the question again? Sorry.
If I understand correctly, BOA, all the composition unit I can define are Java artifacts. Either that's B2E module or that's a shared library. But in practice, I mean reality check. When I fulfill the business requirements, OpenTime, I modify not just my Java code. I also modify like database schema. I modify my MQQ names, for example. And how does the BOA address that issue so that I can deploy or I can make change in one shot and get everything ready to run?
You will be updating the asset, like it's going to be added as asset, right? I mean, the database schema or anything, whatever you have, it's going to be in a jar file or whatever. And you are going to update the asset. When you update the asset, that models in that asset are going to be updated and recycled. The application is going to be recycled. The composition unit is just going to have the references. It's not a kind of going to have your actual binaries or anything like that. The asset is going to have all your actual binaries. So you will be updating the asset, actually. So once you update the asset, it will be automatically recycled, the application.
But what about that database schema? I mean, can I put that as an asset and find it?
It's going to be part of the asset, right? I mean, you are not going to just add the database schema as asset or anything like that, like how you do it in the earlier release. It's exactly going to be the same. The update operation is exactly going to be the same. If you make any change and if you update that, it's going to recycle the application.
You can recycle application.
But it's not going to recycle the entire BLA, only the module or the particular VAR or particular EAP jar, that only that module is going to be affected and recycled.
I don't think I understand. What if I want to change a store procedure and I cannot define it as an asset, right? How do I bind it into my BLA?
If you are modifying anything like that, it's nothing to do with your application. It's never it's not going to be recycled, and you are fine. Yeah, it's not going to do anything like that.
Okay, that's all my questions. Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Herman Hebler, you may ask your question.
Hello, this is Herman. Thank you for the presentation. It was quite useful and definitely shed some light on the business level application topic. Actually, I have a few questions. First of all, what about class loaders? You mentioned that there's a separate session object which allows us to share session data across multiple EFLs, for example. What about class loaders? Because usually we have multiple class loaders in an enterprise application running with application class loaders, module class loaders, etc. Are these class loaders still isolated, or is there something like a common class loader for all business-level applications?
That's a good question, actually. So it's going to be the same class loader. It's going to be sharing the sessions, actually. So, and the shared library also will
be
loaded.
Which class loader is this? Is there a separate business-level application class loader?
No. There is no separate class loader like that. I mean, I think it's an application-level class loader, I think. But all the when you add the shared library into the business-level application, so that shared library will be shared along all the models, the map to, and it will be loaded in the same class loader, actually. There is no new class loader or feature added, something like that, but it will be all in the same class loader, and you should be able to reference that. And usually, if you pass some object to the different model in the early release or something, but you may sometimes get the class cache exception, or if you loaded in higher class loader, you may see the class loader class cache exception. But you should not have those problems in this. So does that answer your question, or you still have questions?
Can you repeat the last sentence, please, because there was some noise in the line here.
Okay. So if you are loading a shared library jar file in a class loader, in the early release, for example, if you are in a different jar file you are going to reference, or you are sending an object to that class loader, and it has to be on the same level of class loader, or otherwise you will be getting the class cache exception and all. But in this release, it's all going to be on the same level no matter what it is, because the shared library is on the cell level, and it's managed by the WebSphere, and it will be loaded by the same level of class loader.
Okay.
So you will not have any issues like a class cache exception or anything like that.
Okay. One second question. What about the deployment descriptors for EFLs? Let's assume there's a business level application containing multiple EFLs as assets, yeah? And I'm going to deploy.
It's going to be the exactly same like before. There is no change on that side. I mean, it's going to be exactly the same framework, how it was loaded before, one EF file, one deployment descriptor, loaded on that runtime, on that JVM, it's all same. Nothing changed. Only is this VLA is, as we said earlier, it's a logical name to map or wrap all the EF together so that your operation will be much easier and smoother. So other than that, anything else you talk about, your deployment descriptor, how it is stored, how it is created, how it is mapped, everything same like before. There is nothing changed there. And if you look into your configuration also, earlier you will be seeing under the config cell, cell name applications folder, you will have the deployment.xml file and your ejvjar.xml, web.xml, whatever XML files, deployment descriptor files. It's going to be very identical here also. When you create a BLA, it's going to create all the references, all the metadata, all the deployment descriptor under the configuration folder. So it's going to be exactly the similar like before. There is no change in that.
If I update an asset which is member of multiple PLAs,
mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah, you will be able to add, yes, part of...
I update. I get a new version of, let's say, a shared library.
Okay.
So I have to stop all PLAs, or can WebSphere handle this dynamically?
You don't have to stop or do anything. Like on that particular model, wherever you are adding or mapping the shared library, I'm not 100% sure if it's runtime, it will automatically pick it up or you have to recycle the model, but I think that particular model will recycle automatically. That's what I think. That's how it worked before. If you are making any change to any of the model, adding a shared library to your model is also like making some change to that model. So that particular model alone will get recycled. That's what I think, but I'm not 100% sure.
Okay, so we have to do this. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Yeah, go ahead.
Krishnario, your line is open.
Yes, in slide number 15, where you have three BLAs, BLA 2 dot of BLA 1 and BLA 3. So if some of the assets for BLA 3 change, what is the operationally, what all activities we might have to do? I have to bounce all the BLAs, or I have to just bounce the BLA 3?
Okay, so for the slide number 15, so we are talking about the BLA, let us take BLA 3. It has two composition units, and it is mapped with assets. And you are saying, like, when you change the asset, like, so are you saying that you are updating the asset or you are deleting one asset?
For example, assume asset 3, the jar file.
Mm-hmm.
It is a MK jar file, for example, and we have a new version of MK jar file.
Mm-hmm.
So we deploy it. So what all components will have to recycle for that to pick up the latest jars?
Yeah, that is similar to what we just, Kumaran described earlier regarding the shared library. So this is like you have a new jar and you want to update this asset. So you bring that new jar and then you add a new composition unit, or you can edit, you can update the existing composition units with a new asset. So when it happens, it's like it is going to affect that application or the model, like all the model which is depending on this, the modified or updated assets. And if the whole business level application is part of another business level application, that business level application also going to get affected, but you don't need to do anything on that. Just you can focus on this BLA 3, then you do whatever the changes, then when it is up and running, then automatically the BLA 2 will detect the changes. And I never tested this one, but by looking at the configuration document, yes, it is, you update one asset or one particular module, it's going to affect that module. Does it answer your question?
Yeah. So in this scenario, you might have to recycle BLA 3 and also BLA 2, or?
No, just the BLA 3.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
No problem.
Yuma, your line is open.
How do we access the application now? Using the BLA name itself or the context root itself?
It's going to be the context root, like what you did before. I mean, you have a 8-year file, and it has got like 8 application.xml file. It has got like its own context root, so you'll be accessing all differently like before. It's kind of all putting together in one place. Just think about it, like all EAR file in one place, so one shot. Just go and start all 8 EARs. Maybe it all referenced with each other or something. You can do all operation at one time. So it all put together as one composition unit in a BLA. And that's all it does. But other than that, it's exactly same like what you have seen before. There is no difference. If it is an EAR file, if you want to access it, you will be accessing it using the context root of that application. Yeah.
Oh, okay. And one more thing, right? Previously, we used to deploy the var, like we used to give the context root, like while deploying, right? So now here we deploy as an asset, and we have the option of giving the context root there.
You will see all the options. If the asset is a var model or a ER file, you will see all the options. Like when you deploy an application, like you'll see where it has to be mapped and what is the name of the asset. And what is the context root, all the information you will be giving, actually. If it is a jar file, for example, it's not actually servable, the artifact, right? So those cases, there won't be much information. You'll be just mapping it or adding it as an asset, that's it, if it is a jar file. If it is kind of any var file or ER file, like how you deploy a var file or ER file, right, you'll see all the steps there when you add it as asset. So you'll give all the information. But internally, the composition unit will be created, and that will reference your asset and business-level applications.
Oh, okay. So, we really don't want any application to be, right? Like, we have 5 applications which we want to start at once using a pseudo BLA name. So then that would affect any of the application's performance.
No, not at all, actually. So it's not going to affect any anything like that. And also there are a couple of the issues, the way the starting order or the sync not happening and all, but most of the issues are fixed in 703 and the one in 705, I believe. So if you are on 705, you should not see any of those issues, actually, performance or anything related to that. But when you talk about 7.0, there were some performance issues in the earlier releases, and most of the performance issues are fixed in 7.0.7. So pretty much probably if you think of performance, I would recommend you to go to 7.0.7. But that's nothing to do with BLA. We did not have any performance issues with BLA because it's just all internally how it works. I mean, so the application expansion of it works and all the things, whatever we had before, those things are all changed and a lot of improvements actually. What we are talking about only the logical and the design level, what we have in the information center. But other than that, there are few other things we have changed the way it works so that it improves the performance and for better things.
Okay. Thank you.
And I want to add one more stuff, like in addition to Kumaran. And so there should not be any confusion about the BLA. You can think this as a configuration, like only the WebSphere administrator or the application deployer in the WebSphere environment need to worry. And for a developer, there is no change. For a runtime, the server, how it is going to handle the application, it's no change. For the end user, how they are going to access the application, the context root and other stuff, there is no change. So this is only for the WebSphere administrator, and it changes the view how we are going to handle the application install process. And it added some features, like new features, like new application session, IBM application session, and it improved the shared library, the way we do business with the shared library. It does, like now it is a lot of improvement on that. And another improvement is you can start and stop multiple year files within by having a single DLA. And also, you mentioned that one DLA, it has a multiple year file or a WAR file. And you have the option, you can mention the wait time. So when you start the DLA, how you want to start the composition unit within the DLA, you can put the wait time so you can control the order. For example, like you have one module which is talking to the DB2, you want that one to start first. So other module, it depends on that. So you can control the wait also. So it is a runtime. There is no change. We no need to worry about that. And just it's a new logical model that we are trying to address.
Okay. Thank you.
No problem.
Your line is open.
I have a few questions. One is, we have an automation for EFL deployments across our data center. We manage like around like 250 to 300 agency applications, and we do till UAD. My question is, if we group them as we deploy to WebSphere 7 using blah architecture, I mean configuration and management, how does my automation that I need to concern about I don't need to worry because I'm just deploying to the JVMs and blah is just a logical grouping. Know what I'm getting through? Does that because you said like WebSphere deployer has to be concerned about how they are deploying, but do I need to take any consideration? I think while deploying, I need to specify the blah name where it has to go to, right?
You really don't have to do any of that if you don't really want to be part of BLA. So for example, you have 250 application automation deploying at the same time, right? So for each and every application, for example, App 1 to App 250, one BLA will be created. So there will be 250 BLA will be created by default, and it will be kept aside. But that's not going to change any of the behavior what you have seen or what you are seeing now. I mean, it's going to be exactly the same. Only thing is, it is going to create 250 BLAs. If you don't want that to happen, and if you want all 250 apps to be part of one logical structure BLA, then you can create one BLA and map all the 250 application or add it as an asset, and you can say I want to deploy or all this 250 application just to one BLA. If you do that, all the 250 will be part of just one BLA. Either you can do it, or if you don't do it, it's going to create a default BLA for all 250 application.
Okay. So if I don't go for a default BLA, and for example, if I group like 10 applications in a BLA, so when one of the applications is going for a deployment, I need to specify a BLA as an option to, along with other parameters that I use for deployment using WSAdmin?
Yeah, first time when you do it, yes, you have to. Second time it will have the thing, you will be updating it, for example, right? If you are installing it, yes, you have to pass the BLA name. For example, if you want to have 25 BLAs for your 250 application, like each 10, you will be passing that BLA name to say, okay, first this 10 applications, I want to use this BLA name part of. There is a new option in the WSAdmin command where you will say, this is the BLA name to be mapped to. That's it. If you don't give it, it's going to create a default BLA name for you.
Okay, then the update would take care of it to go to the...
Yeah, when you do an update, I think you don't have to pass it, explicitly, because you're just doing like a normal EAR update.
Okay.
And that's still going to be the part of the same BLA. That BLA name is never going to change.
Okay, got it. And my second question is, can we prioritize the asset or composition units as a startup order in BLA? Because if we have a service offering, if we group like 10 applications, for example, and an application should come up before the other applications should use the references to that in different JVMs. So can I set priorities within those assets that I deploy to BLA?
Yes, you can do it. Asset, it can be the jar file, WAR file, whatever you want to add it, you can add it as an asset. That's what you'll have two options there, add asset, add shared library as an asset. So if you, for both shared library jar file as well as asset, if you just click on the name there, go to the place, just click on BLA and click on the application name. It will take you to the page and it will list you all the asset added to the BLA. Just click on that asset, then it will take you to the next page where you will have options to change the starting weight and all. The lowest order will get the priority. So one will be starting first, and two, if you have for another asset, it will be starting after one is started. If it all one, it's going to start at the same time.
Okay, thank you. And the other question I have is the composition unit shouldn't, I mean, it's not, we are not going to create as part of the sphere, and we have the asset deployed to BLA. And I saw the WS admin task commands like add composition unit. What is the role of that command, add composition unit, since asset is going to be mapped, deployed to as a BLA deployable unit? Why would I use the command to add a composition unit?
The name may be a little confusing, but it's just adding asset. That's it.
Oh,
see,
okay.
We cannot add a kind of a composition unit or anything like that. I mean, composition unit will be created automatically when you create asset.
Okay.
So instead of saying that, we just said like add composition unit instead of saying add asset or something like that. So it's going to be exactly, it will do how you add asset in the admin console. You will use the wsadmin command admin task add the composition unit to add the asset into the BLA.
Okay. And I have one question about the runtime resources, like the unprocessed files before that gets to asset, it has to be installed on some target mapping, right?
I'm sorry, can you repeat the question again?
The unprocessed files before we create assets out of those, like year files, you know, jar files, the unprocessed files before I get them as assets, those have to be installed somewhere in a in some target. I need to install that. Then I take that to create assets, right?
No. Actually, when you have unprocessed jar or ER file, right, first what you do is you will add it as an asset into WebSphere application server. It will just save it into the configuration. It's now not part of any BLA, not part of application, nothing, right? You cannot manage it. Only thing you can add or remove, something like that. Just you are adding it as an asset. Once you add it to asset, then you will be importing that asset into the business level application.
Yeah.
So while doing it, that time you will be saying, okay, I want this to be part of this target, this server, this cluster, or what a context rule, whatever, right? That time you will do all this. That time the composition unit will also be created, and it will all kind of now part of your BLA.
Oh, which means that if I get a jar file from a developer, I can start creating out of the jar file asset, right?
Yeah, you can just add it as an asset. You don't have to worry about anything now, right?
Or if I wanted to add an asset within ER file, which is already installed somewhere, I can create an asset out of that, which I can add all the way to the blah, where that ER file, which is having that ER file, is, I mean, jar file is also installed.
No, that time the ER file is going to be the asset. Whatever you have inside the jar file, it's part of the ER file. That's not a separate asset.
Okay.
If you have a separate jar file and put it as an asset, then that is the separate asset. So whatever you have inside a EAR or a VAR model, it's all part of one asset. That's it.
Okay, then if I'm having two JVMs and one ER file and one VAR file on different JVMs, I can add as an asset to one blah, and the resources will be shared at the blah level, you know, for the right? Like ER application, if it needs some classes or some files, since that is part of the blah that is coming from a different JVM where the VAR file is installed, I can utilize the resources, right?
If it is, yeah, it does. I mean, as long as it's when you talk about two ER file in one BLA, and as long as you have it on the same JVM, I mean, that's fine. I mean, I'm not sure if you're talking about the session object or you are talking about other resources.
I'm talking about two JVMs. Sharing the resources between JVMs, grouping within a blah, having sharing the jar files, VAR files between two JVM installed applications as part of single blah.
No, I don't think if it is on two different JVM on two different node, or even if it's on the same node, I don't think you can share. I mean, unless that's how you create the scope, like how you did in the earlier release. I mean, those resources are not going to be controlled by the BLA, actually. I mean, I don't think it will be controlled by the BLA.
So if the question is how we are sharing the resources, then we need to know, like, what type of resources that we are talking about. If you talk about the shared library, that part is covered within the BLA. But if you're talking about some of the resources,
then, for example, create a JDBC driver and a JDBC data source. Those things, it is scoped at the cell level, node level, app server level. It is nothing to do with the application level.
Okay.
So it depends on the resources.
Okay, got it. The last question is, I'm looking at the footprint of the WebSphere configuration. If we are going with block configuration, making most of these applications, what would be the growth of the WebSphere configuration?
Let me make it quick. So are we talking about the size, file size or a configuration file size, something like that?
Yeah, because we are just, you know, when I create an asset, I'm bringing all these jar files into the asset repository, which is under the configuration directory of the WebSphere.
That's a good question. Definitely, because so far, so whenever you get the binaries, artifacts from a developer, you can keep it anywhere. You don't need to be put in the installable directory. You can keep it anywhere, and it becomes part when you go through the install process. But with this new model, we give the option. So you get something, if you think it's going to install or you are going to use it, so we give the option, you can bring it to WebSphere configuration as an asset. When you bring it, yes, the configuration directory, now it's going to get, like, loaded, yes. Because the more asset you add, then the size of the configuration directory and the cell level is going to grow, definitely.
Okay, so should I be concerned anything for the synchronization across nodes in that case, or it should be fine?
No, you really don't have to worry about synchronization until you map the asset to the target and all. It's never going to be pushed to the node. That asset folder is just for the deployment manager.
Oh, okay.
It's going on D manager, not on the nodes.
Okay.
Yeah. And also one more point. Even though we have a BLA model in D7, and you decide no, because all these things makes confuse me, so I don't want to use that option. If you go through the traditional application install process, as an end user, you may see that you are going through the traditional install process. But behind the scene, WebSphere, it handles all the operations exactly same way as a BLA. So even if you install the application with the traditional process, it is going to create all these directories and it will add asset. You may not know that. So if you install the application, default application, with the traditional install process, you come back to the asset panel, then you will see that is added as an asset automatically by WebSphere.
Okay.
And when you uninstall that application, the asset will be there. So you need to delete the asset to get rid of from the configuration file.
Okay.
So even if you decide to not to go with the BLA model, the WebSphere is going to treat all the install process as a BLA, the behind the scene. We may not know that, but behind the scene it's going to work. So by saying that, yes, the configuration directory, whatever the process you go through, either BLA or traditional install process, the configuration directory is going to keep the copy of the binaries assets.
Okay. Thank you. And this is very good, cool feature, definitely.
Thank you.
At this time, we will conclude the presentation.